Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It was a lot of fun talking to Michael Ruzzioni. It's been a fun contest, Waddle, hasn't it?
It has.
The storytelling
really has.
From all these people.
Yeah, it's been such a much needed thing this week, considering all that everyone's dealing with. So.
But I don't know if anyone has a theme song like JD, that's for sure.
JD, you are the bomb. We really like all your nuggets and your special stuff.
Huh? So a very busy day for the Bears today. They had Nagy, Pace, both announced that there's a quarterback competition. Nick Foles met the media for the first time today. Quinn also met the media. They've announced a couple of other signings as well that we've known about. JD, you covered it all. Did anything stand out more than the other?
No, I think the news of them, you know, acknowledging that there's going to be an open competition at quarterback was the biggest piece of news today. I think everyone expected that, guys. I mean, you don't trade a fourth-round pick and then give a guy $21 million in guarantee promises, even though the contract was restructured. He's keeping that guaranteed money. You don't give that to a player, acquire a player, and then not give them the opportunity to compete for the starting job. So I thought Nick Foles was very interesting to hear him kind of talk about his career and the ups and the downs and, you know, losing the love for football after St. Louis, going to Kansas City, and then kind of rekindling that passion under Andy Reid, under Matt Nagy. One thing about Nick Foles, guys, he has dealt with a lot of adversity in his career. I mean, there have been some highs, and then there have been some lows. But he's still in a position where he's wanted across the league. He's making a lot of money, and he has a great chance to be a starting quarterback for a team that hopefully has some serious playoff aspirations. So I know that he can handle this quarterback competition. We'll see what happens with Trubisky. He's the only one we haven't spoken to. We talk with Pace. We talk with Nagy. We talk with Foles. Mitch, of course, is off limits. He's the mystery man, rehabbing from his shoulder surgery. How he responds will be telling. The Bears swear up and down that he is so motivated by this, and he has a great attitude, and he's like, bring it on. We'll see. We'll see what happens when they finally get on the field together. But I do think, again, that not having a full offseason program hurts Mitchell Trubisky a lot more than Nick Foles.
JD, I mentioned this earlier, that you'd be the perfect guy to ask this question to, because you watched every practice that Mitch, virtually every practice that Mitch had in training camp this past year. And you, along with Dan Wiederer, were two guys who I heard from the very beginning say, well, this doesn't look very good, this may be problematic. Based on how you've witnessed Mitch perform in training camp, what do you believe, how do you believe he'll respond, and who do you believe has the edge based on how Mitch plays the game versus how Nick Foles plays the game?
Oh, I think Nick Foles has a clear edge here, don't you, Tom?
I mean, yes, I do. It's,
clearly, yeah. In every category. I mean, the way that Nick Foles plays the game, he's a very smart player. Again, he has his issues. He wouldn't have bounced around the way he has if he was some perfect player. But I think the Bears are looking for more intelligence at the quarterback position. I'm not saying Mitch isn't intelligent. I'm just saying the way that you play quarterback, things they want to ask you to do, seeing the field, understanding coverages, knowing the offense inside and out. These are things that I just don't think they have a lot of trust that Trubisky is going to make a lot of progress in. I mean, he might, and they're certainly holding out hope, and let's not totally close the door on him because you want to give him one more chance. But I just think Nick Foles fits a lot better. Can Nick Foles stay healthy? Well, that's a great question. I mean, he broke his collarbone in week one last year, and that's why he's in Chicago. If he plays a full season for Jacksonville, my guess is, guys, with that big contract, he's still a member of that team. And Gardner Minshew is just some funny guy in a headband playing backup quarterback. You know, but I just think that Foles, and then you hear Foles talk and you understand what Foles is about and what makes him tick. And I thought, you know, Lewis Riddick told you guys last week, I mean, all this talk about, you know, Mitchell Trubisky wanting to prove something. I think Nick Foles is in the same category. He's got a lot to prove, up and down. You know, big deal in Jacksonville, doesn't work out. MVP of the Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Third string quarterback in Kansas City. Had a terrible experience, obviously, in St. Louis with the Rams. You know, was a good value as a third round pick coming out of college in Philadelphia. Then things kind of fell apart for him there. So he has just as much to prove. There are just as many Nick Foles doubters out there as there are Mitchell Trubisky doubters. The only difference is in Chicago, you don't know Foles as well as Trubisky. So maybe the Chicago-based Nick Foles doubters are not as many as Trubisky. But nationally, he knows this. He knows that people doubt him. They think he's just a role guy, a guy that can come off the bench, and he wants to prove people wrong. So I just think if you add everything up, my belief is this will be Nick Foles' job. He'll be the week one starter. It's just a matter of when are they able to get on the field and when are they able to have this open competition? And that is the question that, unfortunately, none of us have the answers to right now.
J.D., you led me perfectly into my question then. With all the questions surrounding Mitch and Nick Foles, how confident are you that the Bears truly find their quarterback answer by the end of this year?
I mean, you mean like long-term answer.
Quarterback answer.
That's a great question. I don't think it's going to be Trubisky, put it that way, okay? So we can probably move him aside.
Okay.
So your only two options are Mitch and Nick Foles for the long term. Nick Foles is 31. Is he a guy that you're going to say is going to be the quarterback of my team for the next 5-6 years? Well, Sylvie, if you look at the track record, what does it tell you?
Right. The history's not good, right.
It's probably not. That is why it is so unfortunate that they don't have more higher draft picks this year to take a quarterback. They should absolutely draft a quarterback. But there's no first-round pick. You trade away your fourth-round pick. You've got 2 seconds. They need help at other positions. Like, I would say, in the second round, there better be a cornerback coming here. And they got to find a tight end. They need safety. There's more competition clearly needed on that offensive line. There's a lot of work to do here. Quarterback, to me, is vital for this team. They got to start drafting quarterbacks and developing them because they have, I think, a pretty good offensive brain trust in place, and you would hope that they would be developed properly. This isn't like throwing away a late pick by drafting David Fales, right? You know, or who are some of the other guys I covered? Nate Enderle.
Right, and then the kid from Central, who is AB? Dan LeFever, that's right.
These are guys that you take with really no belief that they're ever going to amount to a starting quarterback. And in fact, Phil Emery even said on the record that we think that Fales could one day be a good number two. Yeah. But that's cool if a guy becomes a good number two. Everyone needs a good second quarterback. But, I mean, the goal should be trying to develop a player into a starter. Now, easier said than done, because there aren't as many reps, and now this year it's going to be totally wacko with no offseason program. You know, who knows about training camp, when the season starts. But this is the, Sylvie, I can't answer your question because they traded for Khalil Mack. They gave up 2 first-round picks, third-round pick. So they don't have the ammunition here, I don't think,
JD,
given the other needs to take that big hype. Higher profile developmental guy.
JD, I'm not sure exactly how the contract was restructured, but I know it's $21 million guaranteed.
Approximately.
And it plays out like $8 million this year, $8 million next year. I don't know. But I guess the question I'm getting to is there a chance that this could set up that, like, Nick Foles is your backup quarterback? He's your starter slash backup when they do draft a young guy. Like, Nick could be part of the Bears organization for several years.
Oh, certainly.
Possibly.
I mean, certainly. Now, if you're
in some capacity.
Like, right. Like, could you see Nick Foles having a Josh McCown type impact here? But I mean, look, let me better play, okay?
Right.
And making a lot more money. But someone that you would feel comfortable, like, next year spending a first round pick on your quarterback and letting him learn behind Nick Foles. In that scenario, I would say absolutely, okay? Yeah. Because I like what's happened in Kansas City. I mean, these quarterbacks in Kansas City that have learned under Alex Smith, that have spent time under Alex Smith with Nick Foles, and then you got Patrick Mahomes, they're doing something right there. So if the long-term play is – but now here's the thing, though, Tom. If he plays well this year,
right,
then he's going to void out the contract, right, and it's going to cost a lot more money. But, I mean, if you're asking, like, could he be the guy here for two, three more years –
while they groom
somebody,
guy is brought
along. I mean, that would be ideal. That way, you don't have to run the risk of you know, taking a guy and forcing him out there. But the track record of picking quarterbacks has not been good. However, it should really make everyone feel a little better that Ryan Pace immediately said this was a collective effort here. I mean, this wasn't just Pace making this decision. I mean, Nagy, the coaches, were very much involved in this. And I think that's what you want. You know, when you have an offensive-minded coach and he's got his guys here on offense, you want them picking the quarterback. And I think they had a very large voice in this.
Really quick, JD, is it true that Robert Quinn admitted that he flipped a coin and picked the Bears?
He did. Now, some will say that he was just being facetious, that, like, it was just a...
came down to very close decision.
Came down to very close. Who am I to say? I'm not... I heard it, of course. I'm not sitting there with Robert Quinn. I wasn't in the room when the coin was flipped. But he got a great deal. Look, he got $30 million guaranteed for a guy that's about to turn 30 years old. But I will say, if you just want to evaluate his year last year, man, those numbers were unbelievable. Unbelievable pass rush win ratio. I mean, the sacks were good. The tackles for loss of 5 or more yards were terrific. So, I mean, you could see why there was a lot of interest in him between the Bears and Atlanta. The only question you would have is, okay, a little bit of an older player now. Sometimes when a guy has that big year heading into free agency after a couple of sort of okay years, you ask yourself, well, this guy just make a crazy push to get paid, and now what happens? But, you know, I don't know. He was entertaining. Look, this was a very entertaining day for me. I mean, all I've been doing is getting yelled at and playing basketball and throwing and doing soft toss and having my son not do his schoolwork and eat Skittles all day. So for me, this was a wonderful departure today. And again, Foles was incredibly impressive, and you could just see why. You could see why he's an Andy Reid guy, and you could see why he's a Matt Nagy guy.
He's
and
a I really pro. Think
it has a chance to work here, at least in the short term, with him.
Good. We'll play more Foles later in the show. JD, great work. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Oh, stay it's going to be a long night, boys. Nothing but Skittles and Fortnite while I've been working. This is going to be a bad one tonight.
All right, enjoy it. There he is.
All right, see you later.
JD does wonderful work, Jeff Dickerson. All right, our final four coming up today is a good one. It has to do with the your favorite scenes in movies or TV.
I think you're going to be able to predict my number one.
Yeah, and I'm not sure.
You can't.
All right, 90 minutes away, too, to the end of the contest for the biggest name drop. We got a lot to do. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Trying to think what would be your number one.
Come on, Meller guessed it right away. His first guess was it.
I was a little surprised that I got it so easily,
really?
But I probably should not have been.
Shouldn't have been.
All right, well, we'll go through that in about 15 minutes from now. The contest rolls on. I want to give a shout out to our two great sponsors.
Yes.
Meats by Lynn's has been absolutely awesome, and they're here for everybody, too. You know, with the way everything is going currently, they are now delivering straight to the consumer as well.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, they've been providers and have continued to be providers to all the great restaurants in the Chicagoland area. Meats by Lynn's right now, if you go to them at visiteatangus.com. At eatangus.com, they have a number of high-quality protein packs to choose from, steaks, pork, ground beef, you name it. We'll give you a $500 gift card for them.
That's good.
Get you some meat. And then some gambling vouchers. thanks to our friends and longtime friends. You talk about loyalty. You talk about support. You talk about a great partner. Everybody over at Hawthorne Racecourse. I mean,
I could use some of those wagering coupons.
We have $250 worth of that. I know you lost on the ponies today, Waddle, on Fudge.
Fudge Tough was the four horse running in the third race at Oaklawn. I did not put any money on it. He was running second for the majority of the race, but as most 18-to-1 shots normally do, he faded and finished in the back half of the pack.
So Hawthorne Racecourse, Chicago's hometown track, bet now at clubhawthorne.com. And I think that's where we like celebrated our first anniversary of the show or
yes.
something. I mean, they've
yes,
been with us every single step of the way. So thank you to Meats by Lens and also Hawthorne Racecourse. All right, so earlier today, Clay Harbor called in. He was someone on The Bachelor because someone's on Bachelor because we don't watch The Bachelor.
No, and listen, I hate to say, like, even what's his name from The Wire called in and got mad because I haven't seen The Wire yet. I mean,
Bubbles from The Wire.
I'm old and I've got four kids. They're all adults now, but I'm just getting around to watching all of this.
You guys are going to listen or you're going to watch the new Bachelor that's on in like a week. There's a new Bachelor that comes out. It's a variation of the Bachelor where they sing. When that's the only competition going on for a couple months here, you guys are going to be making bets on that show.
I've always said this as well. As the father of four daughters, the show and the concept makes me a little uneasy. Is that fair? I mean,
look, you're being honest. That's fine. So Chris Bukowski is a Chicago guy. He's also a restaurateur. He could set me straight on this. I guess it says here he was from The Bachelorette Season 8 and then Bachelor in Paradise. Chris, do I have this right? Explain to me your role on The Bachelor.
Hey, man, if I have to explain all my roles on The Bachelor, we might be here all night.
So multiple roles on The Bachelor?
Oh, yeah. Since 2012 to this last summer, I've done six shows of all Bachelor shows.
Wow. So were you the feature Bachelor in one of the years, one of the seasons?
No, unfortunately, I've never made that rank, but just about everything else I've done besides be the actual Bachelor.
My guess is the answer to this question is going to be yes, but have you enjoyed all of your participation in those different shows?
You know what? It's 50-50. You know, looking back, it's like experiences that, you know, most people don't get and, you know, can barely make this stuff up. But, you know, it's not as glamorous as it all seems when you're there.
How true is all this? Like the stuff that we see and people get very mad on Twitter. I see on my Twitter timeline gets taken over with some of the moves that people make. How true is everything we're seeing on The Bachelor?
No, it's true. I mean, there's definitely guidance from the producers. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a show. You would just have just a bunch of people kind of hanging out. So it's, you know, they don't tell you to, you know, really say anything. It's not scripted by any means. But, you know, there's definitely some guidance there for sure.
Do you have forgive me for not knowing, but are you married? Do you have kids now or are you still involved in these programs?
No, I'm single. I actually got engaged this last season on Bachelor in Paradise, but unfortunately it didn't work out. So I'm back to being single.
Wow. I mean, and all you guys, like I got your profile, all you guys put all of us to shame.
Of course.
I mean, it's something. I mean, and so you own restaurants too? Is that the case?
Yeah, so I have three out in D.C., and then there's one that we have on UIC's campus in Chicago. It's called Bracket Room.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Who had you call, Chris?
So I had, I mean, originally I heard Clay this morning, and then my buddy Dean Prince told me he was on and told me I should call in, and then someone tweeted me. I'm trying to see who that was. It was Matt Niecki.
Okay. Are you a big sports fan at all or no?
Oh man, this is like purgatory without sports right now. Yeah, I'm a huge sports fan.
Do you get along with all of the other like guys that are involved in the show like you, or do you want to beat some guys up?
Well, when you're there and you're around these guys 24/7, they get on your nerves. But no, I mean most of us are, you know, friends and stuff. I'm really good friends with Clay. We hang out all the time. So it's, you know, a lot of us don't live near each other. We're all kind of across the country, so it's kind of tough to really kind of hang out all the time. But, you know, we got a good Chicago crew here.
Chris, are you surprised at the popularity of these shows after all of these years? I mean, it's crazy. You're in on Twitter, and people are freaking out on a show-by-show basis.
Well, it's insane. We even got the president talking about it, comparing his ratings to the Bachelor finale.
by the way, have you ever met Mark Jean Greco, ABC7's sportscaster?
I've never met him, but I feel like he's part of my family. But no, I've never met him.
So we saw the before everything hit the fan. We saw they were asking for like the
senior citizen
bachelor. Like they were looking for a bachelor over 60 years old. Now he's got a girlfriend, but he is single, and we want to make him. We thought it would be perfect because he works for ABC. How great would he be on The Bachelor?
I don't think there's anybody better. I think he'd be perfect for that show specifically. I know some people, so I can probably get him in.
Can you work on that with us? Seriously.
I don't have much else to work on, so I'll dial that in.
All right,
no problem.
But here's the problem. As I mentioned when we first talked about it, Mark himself, he qualifies from the age group, but I don't know how often Mark was actually dating people who would also fit in the age group. I'm trying to say this as politically correct as possible.
Right. No, I got you. So, yeah, maybe this isn't his show. Maybe he should be on The Regular Bachelor.
Yeah, now you're talking.
Hey, Chris, it was a pleasure to meet you. All the best. Stay healthy, and thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Nice talking to you.
You too. There's Chris Bukowski, who is a multi-time Bachelor contestant.
Well, Abdallah, I mean, this is your wheelhouse. Give us a lowdown.
Yeah, what happened? Did the Bachelorette pick him and they got engaged and now they're not good?
He's doing his own show with Chris.
He's doing the after show with Chris.
Is he?
Much rather talk to Chris than you guys. So.
By the way, one of our old friends who's an actor.
That was awesome.
What was the deal? Did the Bachelorette pick him? And then they got engaged?
So, you guys, Bachelor in Paradise is basically like Bachelor on steroids, where everyone who didn't find love comes together over the summer, and they have to stay in Mexico for like 6 weeks together. And then you're supposed to pair off, and if you get engaged, then you win. You don't really win. You win at life if you find true love, right, guys? So he got engaged at the end of the season, but it's
so what is this? Is this like an NBA player having to play in summer league, or is this still like the major leagues?
No, it's still the major leagues. I mean, it's just their like summer version of the show in between The Bachelorette and then The Bachelor. So
I had no clue what I
me either. I don't watch it. Like I said, I was being honest. Like, yeah. As the father of four daughters, I get creeped out by it.
Well, he has the most appearances on these shows. He's like the older one. Like they do the intros, and he's got like a walker just to make a joke of how, quote, old he is and how many of these shows he's been on.
So who would that be like? He would be like what? The Gordie Howe of Bachelor?
Who's Gordie Howe? No, I'm kidding. Yes, he would be like Gordie Howe of The Bachelor, yes.
All right, there you go. The contest has been fun. One of our old friends who we met in this contest has called in again. And we could go over the greatest, since he's an actor, we could go over the greatest scenes in the history of movie and TV, in our opinion. These are our favorites. We'll do that next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Actually, a lot going on this Friday. I hope everyone's getting through it okay. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's, contributing and staying at home. You can listen on your smart speaker to all those people and in all the industries that are vital, especially, of course, all the hospital workers, nurses, doctors.
Oh, yes.
All the people who make it, you know, so we all have a better place and a better chance at this. Thank you. And we're just trying to have a fun 4 hours and get you through, even if you can listen for 5 minutes.
And it's also, you know, we've had a little sports-a-roo to talk about today as well.
That's right. So it's been reported that Woj reported that the Bulls are looking for the ultimate voice in the Bulls front office. We'll go over that. Got a couple poll questions on that. And as JD said, a lot of good stuff from Nick Foles. We'll play you some Nick Foles coming up here at 5 o'clock. I want to go through the Final Four today, which is the greatest our favorite scenes in TV or movie history, right? Is that the way we're turning it?
Yes, that's how we discussed it.
There's a wild topic. And our one of our good friends that we met when we did this contest years and years ago is Colin Egglesfield, who grew up here in Chicago. He's been in numerous television shows and movies. His brother called in recently, who is a pilot with Southwest Airlines.
He's still flying.
Yes. And Colin texted me last night, and I said, yeah, Colin, of course. We love hearing from you. And Colin Egglesfield decided to pop on and say hello to his buddies, Waddle and Sylvie. What's up, Colin?
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Good. How are you spending your time these days?
Oh, you know, I'm just running laps inside my my apartment here in the West Loop.
And are you getting a bit stir-crazy?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I have rearranged my sock drawer about 10 times, and I'm learning how to basket weave now. So I'm making good use of my time.
This is no lie. I'm sorry, Sylvie, real quick, before I forget this. At the top of my list of things to do tomorrow, guys, is to go around the house with a wet rag and wipe down all the baseboards and all of the wood trim around the doors because there's a little bit of dust that is gathered. And it's something that I would not normally do, but considering I have nothing else to do, that is going to be on your job one tomorrow.
Right, right.
Yeah. I give you guys a lot of credit for keeping us entertained for 4 hours when nothing is really going on.
Well, the entertain is a loose word here. So are you still happy to be in Chicago and away from the Hollywood scene?
Yeah, you know, I still go back to Hollywood whenever I have, you know, some big auditions or appearance stuff that I need to do. But yeah, I love being back here. You know, I do all my real estate is here, so it allows me to be able to fund my acting habit, if you will, because the business has changed quite a bit since the invention of Netflix, and you know, not as many people go to the movie theaters anymore. So, it pretty much all the movie stars that were on, you know, in the movies started to do TV. So it kind of made it just got so flooded that I'd go to these auditions, and it was like the who's who of 90s television. I'd walk into these auditions, and there'd be like 40 guys from TV shows, like, you know, guys like Scott Wolf from Party of Five and Jason Bear from Roswell and, you know, Seth Green. And I mean, we'd walk in and be like, oh, you're here, you're here. And it was just like, you know, it's like rolling the dice of who got the role. And I mean, that's just kind of what Hollywood has become. It's just so flooded and inundated with, you know, a lot of really great talented actors that I just wanted to get a little more control over, you know, my life and not having someone choose me in order for me to be able to do what I love to do. So
it's interesting.
I wrote a book last year called Agile Artist, and it's all about my experiences overcoming, you know, all the obstacles that stand in the way of you going out and pursuing your dreams. And for me, it was becoming a movie star. And, you know, I'm a cancer survivor, so I talk about that in the book and what I learned in my acting classes about mental toughness and discipline, which is a lot what I learned from playing sports. I brought that same mentality to my acting career. And, you know, like you guys know, it's all about setting goals and having a great team support network around you to go after those goals. And and doing this book tour around the country, went to Barnes and Nobles and started doing these book signings. And it kind of turned into this motivational speaking kind of thing. So I had this whole one-man show tour set up that I was supposed to start May 7th, where I was going to be going to 20 different cities around the country. And the name of the show is called No, I'm Not Tom Cruise, A Midwesterner's Guide on How to Succeed in Hollywood and Beyond.
Wow.
Because I get compared to Tom Cruise quite a bit because we share a few physical similarities, even though I'm like a few inches taller than him.
But, how tall is he really? How tall is he, Colin?
He's like, I met him once. I'd say he's about 5'9", maybe five. I don't know if he had platform shoes on at the time, but yeah, he's about, I'd say, you know, on a lucky day, 5'9".
It's interesting, Colin, that you mentioned how the Netflix situation has been flooded by you know, people that were involved in different movies. I would have thought, and again, I've got no basis for having the right information, that with all of the new different, you know, Hulu and Netflix and Amazon TV, that it would actually create more opportunities for more people, no?
Yeah, you know, it has. But on the flip side of that, remember back in like, you know, the 90s when Friends and Seinfeld were like the hit TV shows, and right. you'd have like 20 million people watching those TV shows. So they could charge a premium for the advertising, the commercials on those shows. And now, because you've got 400 channels and so many shows out there, that the audience for each show has now been diluted and spread out. So instead of 20 million people watching one show, you've got maybe a hit show is maybe 5 to 10 million, if that. Most shows are averaging like 2 million. And so they just can't charge the same advertising dollars to be able to then translate that paying to, you know, paying actors the amount of money that, you know, is even just to be able to sustain a living. Now, right. you've got your top 5% of actors who actually are consistently working and who are making really good money. The 95% of actors out there, the Screen Actor Guild card-carrying members, 95% of us are out of work at any given time. So we're struggling, we're hustling. You know, it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks. This is what I talk about in my book. And that's why I call it Agile Artists, because as actors, we've got to be very adaptable to change and finding that side hustle to be able to support what we love to do the most, which is be creative and be on stage.
Two quick questions before we let you go. One, Foles or Trubisky?
Oh, man. You know, I had such high hopes for Trubisky, and for whatever reason, here's the thing. It's that mental game, and something got into Trubisky's head where he just, it's almost as if like he doesn't believe himself. He was a shell of himself last season, and I think that Foles coming in here will be good. Veteran coming in, experienced Super Bowl winner. I would hope that would induce some competition and light a fire under Trubisky's rear end. But I do like that, you know, we've got a capable, you know, quarterback who can start, if not, you know, back up if Trubisky gets hurt again.
And what would you say, because we're going to do our list here inside What to Watch For. What is, when I say, what is your favorite scene, television or movie-wise, where do you go?
Well, guys, have you seen Tiger King?
So you're a lover of that show?
Oh, my God. It's such a train wreck. You can't stop watching. Have you seen it?
I stopped after 2 episodes. I thought it was two. Yeah,
I'm 4. I'm 4 episodes in.
Okay. What do you think, Tom?
I think that it's like a lot of things these days, Colin. I think they could have done this in like a 90-minute total special or maybe a two 1-hour specials. It's just dragging on.
But well, what else you got to do besides clean baseboards?
That's exactly right. It's a good point. Nothing. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Colin, great to catch up with you. Always all the best, okay?
Yeah, and if you don't mind, you know, what I just put together, if I can do a shameless plug here, and it'll help a lot of people. I put together a course called, it's called Camera Ready, and it teaches people how to overcome their fear of putting themselves on camera, being able to just to authentically share who they are, whether, you know, you're a real estate agent or in sales or whatever. A lot of what we do now is all online, and I meet a lot of people who are just like, you know, how do you do that? How do you get in front of the camera without getting nervous and all weird and awkward? And if you're interested in getting help with learning how to confidently be able to stand in front of the camera and you know, increase your influence, increase your network, whatever it is you're looking to do, you can check out the link in my Instagram at ColinEglesfield.com. And again, the program's called Camera Ready. So maybe Trubisky should take my course and get over his, you know, get it out of his head and get some of his confidence back.
He's shutting off all the TVs, right? Yeah. Colin, thank you.
Thanks, Colin. Stay safe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There's our buddy Colin Egglesfield. He grew up here. He's been in TV and in movies for a lot of years. And then you heard how he sort of told you how tough it is these days.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And I, as I said to him, I thought the advent of Netflix and all these other things was just creating job after job after job, but he described it differently.
All right, let's get into the topic. Final four, our favorite scenes in TV or movies. That's next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I will get into the hardcore news of the day at 5. Play some Nick Foles. The Bulls are starting their search. They're going to start interviewing people, according to Woj, next week. And maybe have someone in place if and when the NBA season restarts, so he can sort of take it all in before next season, before the offseason. Very interesting. All right, what to watch for each and every Friday. And basically every day is a what to watch for. We talk TV. You know what I mean? It is.
No, you're right. I mean,
we're always like, talking about TV.
I was mentioning earlier with Colin. I watched. I'm with you. I got fatigued with Tiger King after two episodes, but I decided to dedicate myself to it last night. Watched two more episodes, and like I can't sit through it the way I sit through Ozark. I gotta take my time with it.
Ozark. I got season three, episode three tonight.
Oh, okay.
My wife and I will start now. Nice. Maybe we'll get a couple into it since you know it's not a school night. Don't have to prep for a show. We could watch two or three in a row. But I'm sure the kids will prevent that, too.
There's no doubt.
I don't sound like I'm bitter, do
yeah,
I?
No, yeah. Maybe the kids will let us do that. They catch my breath over here for crying Jeez. Out loud.
All right, so...
These children, who are these people? I mean, I just woke up one day and they're here. Who dropped these kids
who
off
these,
in my house? Who are
these? Like, I sometimes stop and I look at them, and they're so damn cute. And they're 5 and 4, and they're so damn small. And I look at them and I say... How do you guys cause so much problems?
Yeah.
How you're so small, you're so tiny, you're little, yeah, you're nothing.
As I've said to everybody 1,000 times, when they get bigger, the problems don't go away. They just become different problems.
Right, of course.
So,
all right, so Waddle, this is your topic, and it's a good one. These are what our favorite scenes. It could be any sort of scene in TV or movie history, and we won't exactly give away the scenes, but we can name like what the scene was known for in the movie and TV show it's from.
I'm going to give you a bonus scene, okay? This didn't make my top five, but this is kind of my apology for mistaking what the message was with Guilty Pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number five, I know it's top four, my number five best movie scene, giggle if you want, 16 Candles. At the end, Molly Ringwald is coming out of the church. Everyone's gone. It's been a hot mess of a wedding, and she's like down. And then everyone leaves, and she looks up, and there's Jake standing next to his red Porsche,
that red sports car.
And then it ends up with the two of them sitting on the table, and
with the birthday cake.
Yes,
right?
I'm just telling you, like that. Jake. I tear up every Jake. Of course,
yeah.
Jake.
That was a great movie. 16 Candles is a great movie.
But in terms of scenes, that's kind of my guilty pleasure.
Okay, I've got a bonus. I'm glad. See, we're alike with this. I've got a bonus guilty pleasure scene as well.
You said bonus, right?
Yes.
Okay, number four for me is the breakfast scene in Wedding Crashers, okay? Like, people may not remember it, but Owen Wilson is sitting having breakfast, and here comes down the steps, comes in. He steps in, and it's Vince Vaughn. And Vince Vaughn's out. He wants to be gone. And then he loads up his plate with all the food.
And there's a muffin, an Eggo, like two huge breakfast sausages.
It's about a five-minute scene. It's one of the funniest
things I've ever seen. That is a sneaky play right there.
The end of the wedding scene, Game of Thrones, season 3, episode 9.
Okay.
Oh, my freaking goodness.
And you just watched it within the last week.
And it's top three. So
okay.
It's three. I'm going to cry even thinking about this one. Scene number two. Rocky 2. Rocky's been on his wife Adrian's bedside forever. He's completely forgotten about getting ready for the fight. Adrian wakes up. And she pulls him in and says, you know what I want? You know what I want you to do? Win. And Rocky looks up and he looks at Mickey, and Mickey goes, what do we win? For.
And then I just watched it this weekend, and then it follows up with a great montage, and then Rocky running the steps of the museum.
I just got the chills thinking about it.
So
and my number one scene of all time, I'm gonna cry.
Wow.
When I think I gave you guys Hoosiers as my favorite movie of all time, when Gene Hackman pulls the team in to go out on the floor for the state championship game, and he's a hard ass. And, like, he demands everything from these guys. And he pulls them all in, and finally you see kind of the emotional side of him, and he gets the softness of the character, and he pulls him in and he says, I love you guys. Greatest scene for me in movie history.
Good wide variety there. I went a little more serious with mine. My guilty pleasure bonus scene is the Pam Pan scene of Step Brothers. When we still quote that. We still That's quote good. It. It's so funny. Number four, Reservoir Dogs. The ears scene stuck in the middle with you. One of the most grotesque scenes you've ever seen. Number three, the final scene in Sopranos. You guys are going to yell at me, but it has provided years of debate. Nobody truly knows what happens. You remember the song playing, Don't Stop Believing. You remember the parallel parking, and then it goes black. I think it was brilliant. Number two, Pulp Fiction, the Gimp scene. Does it get any more intense than that when the Gimp is out there and they're all in trouble? The ball gag and everything. Jeez. That's high intensity from one of the greatest movies ever.
Zed's dead.
And number one, one of the great flips of a script ever, it's one that you didn't see coming, is the final scene of Usual Suspects. I won't tell you what it includes my hometown as well as quoted in there.
Yeah,
Skokie.
That's good. That's a good list.
That's my list. What do you guys have?
Number four for me, it's a scary movie. It's an older scary movie. The scene, the opening scene of Scream, where it's Drew Barrymore and what's your favorite scary movie? The Call, the popcorn, the end of the scene. It's the way the movie starts. That's the best slasher movie ever. Don't at me.
You're copying off my list, Abdallah.
I didn't copy off your list. I made my list for the show starts. Number three. The Jurassic Park T-Rex scene.
I
love Jurassic Park.
I do
Park
too.
So much.
I like Jurassic Park.
The whole T-Rex scene, the scream is perfect. When the dude gets eaten in the bathroom, it's such a good it's such a good scene. I'm going to go home and watch right now. Number 2, I Am the One Who Knocks from Breaking Bad. It's the when Skyler is doubting who Walter White is, and he tells her, you worried about people? No, I'm the people. I am the people." It's
fantastic.
Great. And number one, I've had a lot of Lost in my TVs, and number one for me, the season finale of season 3 from Lost, the We Have to Go Back, where the whole episode, you're like, why does Jack have a beard? Where's he going? Who's he talking to on the phone? Who's he going to go see? Oh, wait, it's Kate? This is the future? They got off the island? They have to go back?
I've never seen an episode.
Oh, my God.
You would love it. I'm telling you, you need to do that one day. You may like that more than you like The Wire.
Really?
Yeah. And then, Meller, yours.
All right, I'm going to improvise. I'm going to say number four, since no one else has it, we have to have included on someone's list, Shawshank, Andy's Escape.
That's good.
That one has to be on the list somewhere, some way. Number three for me, Crazy Stupid Love. So I don't ruin it for you, Sylvie. I'll just go ahead and call it the David Lindhagen scene about 40 minutes left in the movie. Excellent. Anybody who's seen that film knows exactly what I'm talking about. Number two for me, I'm going to go with seven, What's in the Box?
Oh, God.
That's a good one, Mallard.
And for me, number one, the best scene when I think of movie and film, I cannot think of any other scene. The opening scene, the 2009 masterpiece by Quentin Tarantino, Inglourious Basterds, the opening scene when we're introduced to SS Colonel Hans Landa when he inspects the dairy farm. The acting in that, the tension, it is phenomenal. I have never been like so engrossed in a movie, and it's the first 5 minutes of it. It's remarkable. You watch that 5 minutes of a film, and I don't know if you need to see the rest of the movie. It's so awesome.
I was thinking about one like that, too. Like, I didn't include it. Heath Ledger, The Why So Serious in the middle of
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight. I love that scene. So many great ones. 332-3776. Do you believe the Bulls are going to get it right? Who wins the quarterback derby? There's big news to discuss in Chicago sports on this Friday. We do it in 2 minutes.